Conferences. Long agendas, big venues, always on your feet, barely getting to see the people that you want to see, and then, of course, the expense. Well, the three of us at Good Morning Hospitality are launching Good Morning Retreats. Our first retreat is this July 8th through the 10th at the Horst Hospitality Training School in Auburn, Alabama. If you go to goodmorningretreats.com, you'll find out more information about our first retreat that we're launching. We have already filled half the slots. We have 20 available and we have about 13 already filled. So make sure you go there, you apply, show your interest, and we'll get you all situated for our first ever Good Morning Retreat. Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast. And now back to the episode.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Welcome to Good Morning Hospitality, your one-stop shop for the latest news, noteworthy trends, and thought-provoking discussions across the industry. From hotels and short-term rentals to all things travel and hospitality, you'll find each episode equips you with the information that you need to start your week. Join us on Good Morning Hospitality every Monday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, hospitality.
Good morning. Look at you, Damien, joining the crew. How are you, buddy?
I'm very well. I've got a slight allergy in my eyes today, so you'll have to forgive me. But I'm good. I'm excited to be here for my debut.
I wonder if we can edit your eyes in post-production. What do you think? That might be the best way to do it.
You're doing a good job there.
Rafi, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. A little bit cold. I was swimming last weekend in the lake, and now it's like snowing, so
wow.
Yeah, I'm trying to adjust to the weather right now, but I'm good.
Wow. And when you were swimming last week in the lake, what temperature was it?
25 degrees.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's something, isn't it? That's really something. God, you do live in the best place, really, don't you? I'm quite jealous of that.
Leo, really, we should probably put this question back to you. How are you with a baby of days old?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm blissfully happy. It's a wonderful phase. So we've got a little boy. He was born Monday morning, and yeah, he's doing really well. He's feeding. Him and mum are doing very healthy. We just had the midwife over. They weighed him. He made it through his weigh-in. Yeah, so it's wonderful. And Rafi, you'll be excited to hear that we still don't have a fixed name, but Rafe/Rafi is still very much in the running to be the name, as is Louis. So you can go and wind Louis up if you want about that.
That's great. What happened to Raphael then?
Well, we're just in that phase. I think we're so sleep deprived. We're just sort of naming everything now. You know, so maybe come back to me next week. I doubt we'll have a name. The cutoff is 6 weeks. You've got 6 weeks, I think.
All right. Do it. I'm excited.
Now, here we are, the week of Scale Green. So very excited to have you with us, Damien. How are you feeling about it, mate? Feeling ready? Everything coming together?
Never quite ready. Never ready for any of the conferences we do. But I am particularly excited about this. Yeah, I think anything that we do that's, you know, a bit groundbreaking, a bit unique and innovative is something very exciting. So it's a half a day, so it's 5-6 hours. In London on the 23rd. So I'm really excited, Louis, and excited to have the OVO Network join us. They are going to be one of our pioneers who are going to be there for the day, as well as 100 others joining us. So really excited. Yeah.
Brilliant. And I guess that means we'll all get to have a beer or a coffee together next week in London.
It'd be rude not to, wouldn't it? Or an ale of sorts.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but I'm feeling a little bit summery. I feel like, I'm sorry, Rafi, I know you're feeling cold, but I don't know, like the sun came out in London, which is a rarity. I say that the sun has now gone away, unfortunately, but 24 hours of sun in London is notable. And it did just get me thinking about summer holidays. Now, we're talking about summer trends later in the show, but I wanted to ask you both, have either of you booked or planned your summer holiday yet? Rafi?
I've planned to go to Albania. Sort of more end of summer, so that's going to be a first. and otherwise Brittany, where I'm trying to learn how to kite surf.
Very cool. Very cool. This is a snap moment because that's where we're going. We're going to go to Brittany.
Oh, really? Where?
Yeah. It's near Nantes, is it? Nantes, which is near... and then I can't remember. I think you pronounce it Van. The town is Van. Maybe yeah, 100 okay. kilometers from Brittany.
Yeah, pretty close to where I'm going.
You don't have to tell me your dates, and don't worry, we won't crash your holiday. But there you go. Just a coincidence. Just a coincidence. Yeah. How about you, Damien?
Oh, nothing's exciting, I'm afraid. Well, we've just come back from South Africa for like a 2-week trip nearly in South Africa with our Scale South Africa event. So so this summer, just chilling. We after our main Barcelona show, I just want to take a few months off and do next to nothing. So sadly, very boring, but I'll take it.
When you say next to nothing, do you actually mean sit and watch all of the football on TV?
How good is that? A bit of tennis, like maybe thrown in as well. That's it. Yeah, I'm living the dream. I've been chasing this for about 10, 12 years, Leo. And finally, this could be the summer. But we'll see. We'll see how it plays out.
It's no coincidence, is it? Summer 2024. Damien takes the whole summer off to watch the Olympics, the Euros, Wimbledon, and anything else he can watch. We'll get to that later in the show. Thanks for being with us. Here we are, episode 2 of Good Morning Hospitality Europe. Let's jump into it. Okay, so the first article is from Short Term Rental. LG Business Solutions launches TV platform for the SDR industry. Rafi, do you want to start on this one?
Yeah. So this is going to be the first all-in-one customizable television platform specifically made for our industry. I'm always really excited to see companies, global companies that operate in different industries cater, you know, their product or new service to our industry. It happened with Skift. So we used to look at Skift articles a lot when I was studying hospitality, and now they're, you know, adding a lot of new articles that are specifically for the short-term rental industry. And I think that these kind of things really solidify our importance. So that's really great. The benefits to this customizable television platform include things like elevating guest experience, strengthening brand recognition and guest loyalty, streamlining operations, and increasing profitability. I've got several opinions on this. So I would say, first of all, my first opinion, this is maybe personal, maybe not. I'm not a big user of TVs when I'm traveling. If I'm traveling, I'm trying to just enjoy the city or the region that I'm visiting as much as possible. I'm not really on Netflix. I think it is also a millennial thing. 47% of millennials actually use TV less than adults older than 35 years old. So I know for one, I'm never turning the TV on when I'm traveling. So I'm wondering on that side, is this going to be really used? Is this going to be maybe missed? I'm not sure, depending obviously on, you know, who's staying in the properties and the generation. The other thing is, you know, TVs they're sitting in the accommodation. This for me, this whole solution resembles a guest app, and guest apps sit on your phone, which are portable. You have them all the time with you. It's a device that you know how to use. Whereas for me, smart TVs are always a struggle to figure out how to use for the first time. I'm thinking maybe guest apps on the phone is something that we'll want to stick to. I don't know if maybe it's supposed to be an added solution or a full on alternative. But definitely phone guest apps make more sense to me. Also in terms of the services, so this is supposed to add services onto the TVs that people can use. So such as, you know, upsells, if you want to get a late checkout, any information that you need about the property, usage of the facilities, et cetera, you can do all of that on this platform. But again, I feel like a guest app on a phone makes more sense. If you want to get a late checkout and you're outside the property at the time that you think of it, you're going to want to do that on the phone and not on a TV when you get home. So that's just a little extra thing. On the positive side, I feel like this has potential, you know, good impacts in terms of branding and personalization. You know, I think if you have your logo on a TV screen that sits inside the property, that's a much stronger branding element than, you know, a small logo on a phone app. So that's great. Also personalization, you know, seeing your, if you're a traveler and you're arriving in this property and you see your name on the TV, that's quite, it's quite nice. So yeah, the branding and personalization, I definitely see the benefits there. But in terms of usability and whether this is, I guess, you know, better than a phone, than a guest app on the phone, I'm not really convinced.
Rafi, would you implement this? Would you start using this system?
So for us, it's we operate a bit differently. We have property managers, so operational property managers that work for us, but they're not on a contract with us. They work directly with the owners of the properties that we manage. So that would be very difficult for us to implement, as we'd have to convince each and every individual operational property manager to go for this, and also would have to anyway convince owners to invest in this specific TV for this that, you know, allows this platform to work. I think it's too much of a hassle from my perspective, just in the way that we work at Over Network.
And this goes back to the app thing, right? Like, you can implement an app because there's no hardware involved, and people just download it on their phone when they arrive. Because this, for me, feels like the biggest barrier. A hotel chain puts 500 TVs in each room and upgrades the entire hotel, and it's really easy. But doing this in a short-term rental, there's the implementation challenge. And we know people in the hardware space, and that's what they say. So smart lock providers, noise monitoring devices, it's getting the uptake from, I don't know, 500. If you've got 250 listings across a really broad geography, you might only get 50% of your owners to do that. With a TV, it might be more like 5%.
Yeah.
It might be more like 5%. And then if it's 5%, you can't have a process for 5% of your rental. So it kind of falls down. So the implementation part, I think, is where the struggles might come. Damien, any thoughts on it?
A lot of thoughts. Well, much like Rafi, I do not use the TV when I go into a short-term rental property at all, with the exception being when my kids are with me. Now, that's not that often, fortunately. But when we do go somewhere, of course they want Netflix. And of course the parents need a bit of time just and plonk them in front of a TV. And whilst that's great in order to be able to log in quickly and you don't have to get your own username and to be worried about not logging out at the end of your stay, etc., that's the only time I ever use a TV. Much like Rafi, I would, any information I want about the property, I want in my hand. I want it when I'm out and about. I don't want the information just in a living room in the property. So for me, it doesn't necessarily make sense having this one big device where all of your information is at. But also, this is, I believe, kind of touted as promoting hotel-like services in a short-term rental. We're not hotels. We, you know, the beauty of our industry is we're not hotels. We have individual, custom, different experiences of going in and out of different properties. So why should we be trying to create a hotel-like experience? And for me, that's the thing. We should be trying to kind of enhance that experience, that individual experience. So for me, I don't feel like we should feel pressure to be like hotels. Be like a standard room with a TV in front of you, with aircon, that sterile kind of experience. I went to a property once in Marseille, a tiny studio. Something I loved, you mentioned the word personalization, Rafi. I got in and there was a little blackboard on the fridge that said, "Welcome, Damien. Bienvenue, Damien." And it had my name and had the weather forecast for the next 3 days, just in chalk on a board. I loved it. I would not feel that same sense of personalization if it was just "Welcome, Damien" on the screen. I'd be a bit meh. So for me, even that level of personalization on a screen in front and on the TV doesn't really hit the mark for me as a guest. Different generations might be a bit different, but I get the enhanced branding. Being a bit more professional, I think professionalization is always a thing for property owners and managers in the industry. I'm just not necessarily sure that this is the way forward.
Yeah, I would actually add, I wouldn't want us to get more professional by being more standardized. I think standardization works great in the hotel industry. That definitely is what differentiates them from us. And I think we need to just, you know, continue with providing unique experiences and experiences that are really embedded in the local country that's visited the region, and yeah, trying to stay away from too much standardization that could take away the unique experience that's so great in our industry.
Yeah, interesting. I like the unique stays point that you're both making, and I think it's very important to a lot of travelers when they come and they've chosen to stay in a short-term rental and not a hotel. That's a very deliberate choice, right? To pick a secluded, remote, beautiful, beachfront, whatever it might be. And actually, you're right, Damien, just walking into a TV screen, it's actually not the first thing you want to look at. The first thing you want to look at is the sea view, or, you know, the nice restaurant square that you seem to have landed in. But let me say this, is there not also an argument to be said that where there's whole blocks that have been taken over, they're still legitimately short-term rentals. And in that area, you might be catering more towards the corporate traveler. And, you know, if we want to try and tempt the corporate traveler out of hotels, we do have to think about providing services that also make it really accessible for them. So paint you a picture. Someone gets off a flight, very jaded, very tired. They enter their corporate short-term rental accommodation, keyless entry, see their name on a screen, and it gives them some restaurant advice straight away. That, I think, is an enhancement to the experience. I don't know if you agree with that, Damien.
Not necessarily. I consider myself to be, for the most part, a corporate traveler. Leo, when I go away to the conferences that we host and others, when I get in, I generally, like many of us, I don't necessarily want to meet somebody, but I want to have information when I want information and how I want the information, and not necessarily on a TV screen where I have to sit down with a remote to, you know, to do. And as Rafi says, smart TVs aren't necessarily that smart sometimes. Sometimes managers, they may not have the right source on the TV. So you've got to find your right HDMI, etc. So I don't necessarily agree with you there, Leo. I think the quest for standardization is it's not necessary for me at this given time.
Basically, Damien, all you want is someone to put the Man United game on the screen for you when you walk through the door, right? And then you're a happy guy.
I know, but they still won't do it. So I don't know what we're going to do. Or Ireland failing that, but no, still doesn't happen. Anyway, we're going to talk about sports shortly, I believe. So. Kind of.
It's even worse. It's even worse, isn't it? God, it's even worse. Sorry, Rafi. That was the only football reference I'll do. Sorry. Apologies. Any more thoughts on this one, or have we kind of wrapped it up that it's a swing and a miss for both of you? Okay, great. Let's move on to article number two. So this one is another article from Short Term Rentals. This has been featured, I think, on a few different publications. So this is the travel trends. Airbnb reveals global summer travel trends for 2024. Now, it's a big summer in Europe, lots of things going on. Damien, do you want to tell us a bit more about this one?
Yeah, so as you say, article picked up and published by Short Term Rentals from a report by Airbnb, focusing on travel trends and really the destinations that have been trending earlier this year with a view to searches across the summer. I mean, no huge surprises here. There are a lot of cities across Germany and France where the European Championships in football has been held and the Olympics that clearly are trending because a lot of people want to potentially go and stay there. So no big surprises, apart from one surprise, which we spoke about leading up to this, was Brighton in the UK. Now, I'm a little bit dubious about this, in all honesty, because having lived in Brighton for 11 years, and I know you think it's because I've left, but I've spoken to people in Brighton who are in property managers. They don't see a surge, in bookings at least. So some of the places it's a surprise, but, you know, we have no reason to doubt it. But I think, you know, the real takeaway from this is to be certainly aware if you've got a major event, certainly sporting event or concert or anything like that coming up in your local area, in your city, be aware of them as far off in advance as you can be, because you're going to get the bookings. Chances are you're going to be able to price accordingly and, you know, do quite well out of this. But it's no real surprise, you know, trending, destinations as a result of major events like football, like the Olympics.
Big summer. Yeah, I agree. I don't know what's going on in Brighton. You did steal my thunder because I was going to claim it was because you'd left town. I think it's just quite a consistent market, isn't it? With out of London, away for the weekend crowds coming through. So perhaps it's people feeling squeezed a little bit, going away less for weekends. So less sort of, you know, quick hopping to other cities and just getting the train down to Brighton.
Be a weather related thing if there was, you know, particularly bad weather in London, for example, throughout the whole of January. But every London is particularly bad weather. So every winter, rather. So there's no. I can't see any change there. Sorry, Leo, to interrupt.
No, not at all. What I love about this article is it really shows the best of short-term rentals. So this idea that when a major sporting event comes to your town, and in the case of the Euros in Germany, some of these towns that have got games, this is a once-in-a-generation moment for them in terms of how many tourists are going to come through. Short-term rental accommodation allows a town to quickly scale up to like fit the needs it needs to for 3 or 4 days and then scale back afterwards. And again, I don't think we get enough praise for that. You know, the alternative is that the hotels just triple the price. Now, obviously there'll be some massaging of prices. That's part of high demand, but all it leads to, I think Edinburgh is a really good example without getting too political, but like Edinburgh, you know, if Scotland are playing rugby or football, then the hotels just completely gouge the pricing because they can get away with it because there's so much short-term rental regulation there. So again, positive. I think it puts us in a positive light that local people who want nothing to do with the football, which would probably be Rafi, I imagine.
Yep, that's right.
No denial. Yeah, no denial. Rafi's ready to get out of town, is able to put her apartment on the platform and off she goes. Whereas the people who really want to be part of it have the buzz of people being in their town, people use spare rooms. So I think it's great. And you know, I entered the industry in 2011 and it was as London was ramping up to host the Olympics. And I remember the buzz of having people not just staying in hotels in the center, but staying in all of the different neighborhoods was amazing. All the local cafes were busier. And I think it really helped put short-term rental on the map in London. So yeah, I think it's great. Rafi, are you seeing any peaks based on people traveling to Paris for the Olympics and then extending by a week and heading over to you?
Yeah, so I think it's too soon to say. We haven't seen anything specific on our side in terms of the data. The Summer Olympics is interesting. So according to Airbnb, Paris was the most searched for city worldwide on Airbnb for the summer months. I'm not actually expecting a huge, significant change in the number of visitors Paris will get in the long run from this. I think short term, yeah, we're definitely going to get a lot of new visitors visiting Paris this summer. But in the long run, I think Paris is already really well known. So I'm not seeing this as a huge differentiator for Paris in the long run in terms of tourism. But when we're talking about neighboring cities and other cities around France, which are also hosting the Paris Olympics, I think that's where we'll see bigger increases. And then I'm really hoping that these tourists will venture out of the cities and want to discover more France. I mean, France has so much to offer. You know, we have the sea, we have mountains, we have great cycling, great food. So I really think that in the long term, the Paris Olympics, you know, will have a benefit for tourism across the country, and not necessarily Paris, but just neighboring places for sure.
Does that mean you're going to go to Paris and watch any of the events, Rafi, or absolutely not?
I'm not. I think most French people, so especially Parisians, but most French people are actually trying to avoid the chaos and trying to escape it and, yeah, maybe head to the mountains.
There you go. And make a few euros from their spare rooms and apartments by putting them online.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, great. Well, look, we'll keep investigating what's going on with Brighton. Perhaps we can go and get a comment from Steve Taggart, Damien. What do you think? See what the view on the ground is.
He was one of the first ones I contacted about this, and there's a big question mark over his head. He could not detect why that was the case on Airbnb. So, that's already been explored. But we'll keep on.
Great. Okay, cool. So our next article is from Focus Wire. Airbnb announced plans to work with local governments on short-term rental rules to allow renters to rent out their properties. It's an interesting article. I first read this as Airbnb wants more supply, basically, in urban areas, which is, I guess, an area where they're typically supply constrained, often probably due to regulation. So I think this is probably a play for younger hosts and turning those younger hosts into guests as well. So it feels like a smart bit of business from them to focus on it. So, you know, areas where they typically have a lot of competition, you bring more hosts into that market and those hosts then become your guests. And actually, if you're the one that's brought them in with your marketing, your advertising, you probably prevent them, well, not prevent them, but it probably stops them looking at other OTAs. So you might just have this inventory exclusively on your own platform. So it's really smart. Like, it's a really smart move from them. I think it's a good angle as well to claim that you're doing it to help people on lower income. I think probably the reality of it is that actually Airbnb needs to be perceived as this as also a lower income way of traveling. So, oh, I put my room on, I put my apartment on, then I went backpacking for 2 weeks and I stayed at another Airbnb while I was away. It all makes sense. And I guess it goes back to the core of Airbnb's origins, right? It's where they started. And I think unfairly, there's sometimes a perception of the SDR industry in general that now it's just really, really expensive places and it's harder to get into an SDR if you have a lower budget. I actually don't agree with that. I think hotels are very expensive, clearly, for younger travelers. But, you know, the SDRs, there is normally something. But it's a really good move from them to say, look, we're catering to this crowd. And potentially it's because they also now need to make sure that Gen Z, which is not me, is the generation, is choosing Airbnb and has Airbnb top of mind, because 60% of Airbnb's, you know, clients are millennials. So they have obviously grown up with Airbnb, grown up staying in those places and using STRs over hotels. They've now got to make sure they obviously stay relevant to the generation that's coming up below and has more purchasing power. So yeah, I think it's a really good move and they're PRing it quite well. From a marketing perspective, Rafi, do you agree? You're probably quite impressed with what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, from a marketing perspective, I haven't really been seeing the marketing much around this. It's mainly actually in the US for now that this is happening. So personally, unfortunately, I haven't seen much of the marketing. But yeah, definitely a very smart move from Airbnb. I personally feel like this is interesting for renters, people who have an extra space that they could sublet, to, you know, whether that's tourists or people staying a little bit longer term. Great, especially now that there's rising costs, rising cost of living. So it's very timely as well. I think that I just worry more about the perception of our industry, as a whole, just because Airbnb is a great influencer on the perception that travelers have over the short-term rental industry. Most people experience, especially for the first time, the short-term rental industry via Airbnb. And if we're increasing the amount of Airbnbs that are managed unprofessionally, then that could have a negative effect on that perception. So that's maybe one of the main worries that I have. I'm not sure what you think, Damien.
I wholeheartedly agree. I think if this were, very hypothetically opened up to renters, say across the world, who could just throw open a room on Airbnb, away they go, the level of hospitality would absolutely tank. Because this is not what they do for a living. This is not something that they do, like, you know, part-time even. So, you know, you could, for all the efforts that Airbnb goes into to try and get high reviews, super host status, etc. I mean, nobody is going to achieve that if they have a full-time job. They're just looking to earn a couple of extra quid renting a room out. So I don't see it. For going back to the start, I don't see this happening anyway, because I think for the most part, landlords do not want their renters to be renting out to other people. There's insurance coverage issues as well, which, oh God, I don't think we're going to get into here. But I just...
Yes, no, please not.
Yes, well, Leo's probably the best place to talk about that. But I know any place that I've ever rented in the past, in any country, the landlord would have been absolute no. And I can't see a law overriding that. Whilst I applaud Airbnb for at least bringing this to the table, I think that's where it's going to end, certainly for the next few years.
Is it a little bit like they're poking the bear as well, going after this? Because, you know, clearly supply constrained areas like cities, Paris, London, near her, wherever you might be sat in the world, you know, it seems like it's potentially going to cause a fight with policymakers when really actually, you know, there's plenty of accommodation available in cities, and actually Airbnb's maybe potentially just being greedy here. I don't know. It's actually not a question. It's just a thought, really. And again, I like this point that you're both making, like what does it do for us as an industry? So we are in an industry where lots of people wouldn't even use the word, lots of guests would not even use the word STR. They would use the word Airbnb, right? So and you're right, Rafi, most guests' first experience is probably at an Airbnb or a booking.com or a Vrbo. So the focus has to be on hospitality, raising the standards of hospitality, right? And yeah, this potentially reduces that. Though to counter that, Damien, I don't know, I've stayed at some places where like the host is just renting out a spare room and they're great. They're really hands-on and they're very personal. So yeah, it's not necessarily the case.
I have two, Leo, and I agree with you there. I just think the more we open this up to people who literally just have a space and they want to earn a little bit of extra money, that of course there's going to be some who have got a great sense of hospitality. I think you're going to open up to a lot of other people though who don't. They're out for most of the day working. You know, they mightn't even be in the evening. They're just, all they're concerned about is the money, and they really the idea of a guest is really just a transaction. You could say that, I guess, across the industry as a whole anyway, but I think it just increases that possibility.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think if we're talking about driving professional standards, that's going to be easier with people that are interested in being great hosts. Have we wrapped it? Any other thoughts on that one? No. Great. Guys, it's been so nice to hang out with you this morning. If you've enjoyed the episode, please like, subscribe, hit the social channels in all the usual ways. Next week, myself, Damien and Rafi will all be having a beer together in London. So that's very exciting. Until we see each other in person, it's nice to see you guys.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you.